Welcome back to Boiling Point Faith and Fire, the podcast where we don't romanticize chaos. We call it what it is. And I told you guys last week we're probably going to talk about Minneapolis. And yeah, the same Minneapolis that went viral over the great George Floyd. They've somehow decided to sprint even further into madness. Listen, you guys, this is what happens when a nation forgets that voting is stewardship and righteousness has consequences. You can't sow rebellion and reap peace. You can't elect chaos and expect order. But you guys know what I say. God already won the war. Okay, evil's loud, but it's losing. My housekeeping for today, everything we discuss on the show is opinion, commentary, personal interpretation for informational and entertainment purposes. Nothing here is legal, financial, medical, or political advice. Do your own research and don't blame us if your senator cries about it. And I'm not doing this alone. You guys, with me is my co-host, the man who has more podcasts than I have babies, Rory. He's the official coach to the podcasters, you guys, Rory Paquette.
Thank you. Appreciate that. Yeah, and I love that comparison. That makes me laugh every single time I hear it because you have a ton of kids.
I have a ton of kids.
It makes me go, man, I really have a lot of podcasts. So, but thank you very much. Looking forward to today's episode. And let me just say, with when this comes out, by the time they hear our next episode, IU will be the national champions of the football world, and I'm celebrating that with this cup today. So, just wanted to put that out there. So, if I'm wrong, hey, call me on it. Would love to hear from everybody, but I'm not wrong. It's going to happen. So,
Rats, because no one saw that coming, right?
Love it even more.
Yeah, that's fun. You guys, so I did a little dive on Minneapolis the other day, and the crazy thing is to me is that it used to be like a clean, calm, proud city in the Midwest. Like it has a great reputation, and it got hijacked. It got hijacked hardcore. And it's crazy to me how useful idiots like you guys voted for all of this. And all of a sudden it's hijacked by ideology. You've got activists going crazy, politicians. I mean, come on, you guys, they're always going to care more about narratives than neighborhoods. They didn't decay. Like it was intentionally managed into decline. You can do the research yourself and track the pivot from like normal functioning city to social experiment to riot playground, and now we're in sanctuary chaos and it's the fraud hub. Lawlessness, embarrassment. And the saddest part is like the people paying the price, it's not the elites running the experiment. The people paying the price, working class, minority families, small businesses, and the neighborhoods that you guys keep thinking that progressives are really championing. So, like, very much earned disgust, but it didn't get there on its own. It's been built like this, and there's a complete disconnect from reality here. So, it's crazy to me. Do you get what you vote for?
Boom, right there. Amen. That is it. 100%. The entire area of Minneapolis, especially, but all of Minnesota, they really were independent but left leaning for the longest time. That's why it was considered a swing state forever, because they weren't staunch on either side. They were just, hey, we respect everybody and let's everybody get along. And because they became ground zero, for the George Floyd nonsense that took place. That's where it took root, and that's where they've decided just to keep building. That mayor over there, as well as the governor, both honestly, have done more in the last week than Trump ever did in the 2016 to 2020 time he was in office, and they tried to impeach him a million times. The January 6th stuff where he, said, oh, hey, let's, march to the Capitol peacefully, and everybody omitted the peaceful part. Both of these guys are not even bothering with the peaceful part. They're literally saying you need to go out and engage and harass ICE. The governor of your state and the mayor of your town are telling you it's your civic duty to go out and commit a felony. How are they not under arrest?
Right.
Just period. I don't understand what's happening out there, but for some reason, you know, our DOJ and everybody involved is still letting it go. How much more has to happen? Who else has to die before they actually decide to enforce a law? It's gotten so far over the edge that I hope people hear what you're saying and they realize, you know, I used to vote this way. I used to be a moderate, but I leaned liberal, and that's how I voted. But now you have to look at it and go, if that's how I vote, then this is what I'm voting for. Because it has changed. It has changed on both sides. You cannot be a moderate liberal anymore unless you're willing to have this happen in your cities and, you know, votes and laws that allow babies to be, you know, aborted after birth. Now, it actually did happen in one state. And, you know, finally, the whole, you know, transgender immigration stuff that we talk about all the time, you're voting for that. So if you don't like that, then you absolutely have to stop voting that way. There's too many cheat votes and fantasy votes and pretend votes on that side. So you can't be one of the real ones. All the actual real voters have to wake up and, you know, at least for a while, vote the other way to help clean up what's going on. And then if you want to go back to being idealistic, great. But right now it's not idealism, it's violence.
Right. And I asked that question, like, why can't Trump just take over Minneapolis? Right. Like, why can't you just go in and do the things? And I mean, you guys, Constitution, that's the way it works. Even when a city is being used as a social experiment, federal intervention only comes in when, you know, first of all, the governor has to request the help. It has to be the civil order collapse. It has to be so bad that commerce, safety, like rights can't operate, you know. Mm-hmm. Or federal laws, federal interests are being actively obstructed, which they are. Are they waiting for like that level of safety to just get like people can't leave their house? And this is the thing, like they've hit the threshold, right? They're ignoring federal agents. Absolutely. They're inching towards that line. Portland did the same thing. Seattle, you know, even with Floyd, they did the same thing.
Yeah.
But the thing is, I'm like, how bad does it have to be, like, before people feel the rot? I don't get it. I just don't get it. Even with the Constitution, I'm very confused.
You know, governors and mayors do answer to the law, though, in some capacity. And that either has to start at the FBI or DOJ level, from what I understand. And they're silent, once again. I just don't, because they're encouraging and inciting violence against federal law enforcement. You are not allowed to do that at all. It is an absolute breaking the law, and they're doing it publicly. You know, I mean, on TV, it's not like, oh, well, did he really? He actually came right out and said, you must resist. You must get in the way. You must, you know, engage, actually, was a word that Walz used.
Yep, that's
engage. This isn't a protest anymore.
Yeah,
this is an insurrection, and I hate the word because of the way it's been used. But this is what it actually does mean: is when you're told to engage the other side unlawfully, that is an insurrection. This needs to be stopped, and somebody's got to put their foot down at some point, and nobody will.
Well, that's,
I don't get it.
Look, they voted for this, right? So I'm telling myself, like, they voted for this. That's, they're crazy. It's not really affecting me. And you know what really is happening right now? Because I mean, people are allowed to just go crazy in the streets, easy, because people in power benefit from the chaos. Like, people are making money right now. Order is measurable, accountable. It's boring. Chaos is emotional. They can exploit it. It's politically useful, you idiots. Politicians aren't going to stop the riots when it's serving their ideology. This is exactly what they want. They only stop them when it's a threat to the career. Wow. That's it. It's a threat to the career. Wow. So, yeah, why is it going to stop? And I feel like this is the point where You guys have to wake up because I promise you there's more of you than the people in the city crying about this. Like, there's more of you that are like us. So, what are you going to do about it now?
They've got to start on the local level,
Exactly.
with the state legislature, with local township offices. Portland has that Fort Townsend Facebook account that I follow all the time, and they cover the nation. But I mean, it's really, really good stuff. They do a great job of actual investigative journalism. But it has to actually start down in the townships and stuff because, when the mayor of a city, and I mean, let's be honest, the mayor of a city is not a hugely highly ranking office. Can be overridden by an awful lot of people. When he's on national news every night, every single day, this guy's making national news on all the networks. Everybody's covering him. They either want to blast it out saying, look how great this guy is, or they're blasting it out going, look what an idiot this guy is. But a mayor is that powerful in the media, then folks living in Minneapolis and Minnesota, period, have to get on the stick because I'm with you. You folks did this. You put these people in power, or you allowed the Democratic machine through a whole bunch of cheating and ballot stuffing and harvesting to put these people in power. Because on the local levels, you're putting people in power that are letting this happen. We vote for the people that put the other people in power. It starts in your backyard. So, I mean, if you're going to vote blue here, at the lowest level, then they're going to enable the next level and the next level and the next level. That's just how it works today. And yeah, people can change this if they wake up. And we do have a midterm election coming up soon, but I'm not sure Minneapolis is going to be standing by the time we get to November. But I mean, I'm glad I don't live there. I'll tell you that I would have moved by now.
Exactly. That it'd be horrible. But this is all it's political usefulness. It just is. Governments have known and used this. It's repeated itself for a very long time. And I just feel like there's so much spiritual rot in these places. Like, people have no moral compass anymore, and there's so much confusion that, I mean, the good being bad and the bad being good, it's everywhere right now. And it's biblical. We've been told about this. But these, I mean, you add in the social media activist where people could go viral by standing up to these people. That's crazy to me. You just like made it's like the perfect combination. Perfect combination for exactly what this side wants, you know. And now they're just living like the law has no meaning. Like, we could write laws all day long, but if they're not going to be applied and prosecutors aren't enforcing it, wow, we got some fancy guidelines. It's not a justice system and it's breaking apart. You guys, our founders knew this. That is why they built a government for an already moral, disciplined, God-aware population. They assumed Americans would police themselves first and the government could police the outliers, right? But what we have now is the opposite, because no one's self-governing. It is just mind-boggling to me. And it's oddly crazy because I've noticed in my life, if I leave police alone, nothing happens to me. I imagine if I go start getting loud in their face and yelling and telling them, get out of here, don't arrest that Walmart shoplifter. Ah, he has a family to feed. I'm getting tasered. And I'm gonna be end up in the back of the car within an hour. If I try to run or I try to hit them with my car, I'm gonna eat a bullet. It is common sense, and I don't understand how these people have been so manipulated. It hurts my brain. And like, a nation has survived on disagreement for a very long time, right? Like, we've done that, but it cannot survive with the absence of shared morality and accountability and reality. It doesn't make sense. And I saw a video this morning. Like, I'm There's so many videos I saw in here, and I just tried to pull them up, and I can't. I should have saved. I don't know how to save them. I should have done that. But like, I'm watching them steal federal rifles. They got into a vehicle. This happened like 12 hours ago in Minneapolis, and they're taking their guns, federal rifles. Like, they're taking their guns. How are you walking away from that? Like, the threshold has been hit, in my opinion. It's been hit. And I feel like a lot of us are thinking the same thing, but we can't care. This is the thing, and I say this to my people all the time. I can't care more about you than you care about yourself. I can't care more about Minneapolis than Minneapolis cares about themselves. They've got people there. If you guys aren't going to stand up and do what's right, like grow a pair, especially those of you in law enforcement, those of you holding office, you voted for these people. Hold them accountable. Hold them accountable. And legally, I mean, what triggers the Insurrection Act? Like, what triggers that? Because we know what they played it with, but I mean, honestly, genuinely, isn't it when states refuse to protect the constitutional rights? That's what I believed it to be.
It's the assault on the constitutional right. But yeah, the Insurrection Act is when the either the people or the state are trying to overthrow the actual government.
Right.
You know, that's what it is. So, and it can be used in the state government if someone tried to overthrow the state government in a violent fashion. You know, but it's when it has, as far as I'm concerned, it has been, and it was the moment the commander-in-chief of the state of Minnesota ordered his people to engage with federal law enforcement. That's an order given
Obstruction of
for violence against the federal government, you know, body. And that, and as far as I'm concerned, it absolutely was, you know, started right then. But I mean, again, Obama proved it for 8 years. You can disobey the Constitution all you want, and unless someone actually does something about it, you get away with it. And right now, nobody's doing anything about what's happening. I hate to think that this is all optics. You know, right now, it's almost like Republicans and conservatives and Trump and the DOJ
All
all feel like it's better for them to let all these people keep doing all this nonsense, because then they can run against it. You know, if they go out and they clean it all up, then what do you have to run against in November? You know, so I have a feeling that's actually playing a role here. Because if they go out and everything's done, well, then people can feel safe. And if they feel safe, they're not going to go vote, you know, in an activism type of way to make a change. If people are feeling afraid for their lives and they were watching the communities burn, well, that's what motivates people to go switch sides and go vote. And I just have a feeling, unfortunately, that all of this is sort of on hold, like we're in a holding pattern because everybody needs to run on it. And again, that's what these people voted for. So I you get you FAFO, you know, just where
I
we
feel
are.
like the whole world feels like that. Like we're all just eating popcorn and watching the shit show that they voted for. And that's exactly what I mean, it's what it looks like. And I do think that it's political usefulness. Everyone benefits from this. Everyone makes money off of this. Everyone gets job security off of this. Now, I feel like if it started to bleed into the states around them, that might be an issue, but it's pretty contained.
You know, that's a good point. It's very contained. Who are we always talking about? Minneapolis, LA, Seattle, and Portland. Really, where else? I'm trying to think of one right now. I mean, you're more social media than I am right now. I can't think of another place that we talk about, right? Other than those.
I feel like
There are more people being attacked, you know, taken care of in Texas and Florida and all the red states, and I mean, even in a lot of blue states that aren't out there doing what these guys are doing. You know, there are blue states who are quietly complying, and they're speaking like, "Oh no, we think this is wrong," but quietly they're like, "Hey, we got these guys in a lockup, come deport them," you know, because they don't want that in their cities. There's only a few really bad blue cities and really bad blue states that we're talking about all the time. Because they're the ones where their law enforcement has been, you know, ordered
to stand.
Don't detain, stand down, don't protect, you know. And that's a big thing on social media, too. I think you saw that a couple of these posts, too, that have come by. But, well, how come Obama deported even more people, but there was no violence? Because all the Democratic states complied.
Exactly.
And Republican states complied because even though it was Obama and it was a Democrat president, they were more worried about their people than they were about making the president look bad. And all these people got deported and no one even heard a word. Now they're hearing a word because these Democratic states all are just so anti-Trump that they're not thinking about what's happening in their state to their people. And they're going, well, we just have to not cooperate at all. So even though we arrested this child molester, this rapist, this murderer, you know what? Don't hold him for ICE. Let him go. Well, now ICE has to go find him. They're hunting him down in the street.
Yeah.
And liberal white women are getting in their way. And we wonder why there's a problem.
Man. I saw this video on Instagram today, and this guy he did a compilation of all the guys that ICE has arrested. I'm going to have to find that video, and I'm going to read some of these off to you guys, because the people they're getting are terrifying. And these aren't just like one-time offenders. Multiple counts of violent rape. A lot of these girls, 13-year-old girls, were like the main number for this. And I'm like, this is who they're defending. You guys, they're not arresting your grandma unless your grandma's a rapist, okay? Unless your grandma beat people up. So I just am very confused. Do they, you know, are they just, I don't get it. Are they not seeing the truth of what ICE is doing or what they're here to do? Do they have a different search engine? Do they just not have the common sense to like research a little deeper?
Right? I think that tells us it's not really about ICE, right? It's not really about the immigrants. It's about how much they hate Trump.
I don't know. I do feel bad for the law-abiding citizens in the state that maybe voted their way and lost out because, I mean, probably cheating for one. But like, what are they supposed to do while this is happening? Because they have to be reaching a boiling point as well. Like, the government doesn't fall when the criminals are rebelling, right? That's their money. That's their base, whatever you call it. But what about when, you know, the good guys stop participating? And there's going to be a point, like some of these people are at a breaking point, like the government, they're realizing the government doesn't care about them, for one. But this isn't even just about general ICE activity in Minnesota. It's the epicenter of bullshit. Highest concentration of foreign-born non-citizens in that state. And the highest concentration of repeat immigration violators. It has just become a political shield for the bullshit activists. And you guys, that's why ICE is there. And that's why their job is harder there than any other city. But I'm confused. Like, what are the regular people supposed to do? Like, what is the Brandon of Minneapolis supposed to do when she's got, you know, her kids, you can't move. I can't move. This is not going to happen. What are those people supposed to do? I'm not sure. Vote harder, talk to more people. You know, I don't know. It's crazy to me. I can't imagine how pissed off some of these people are.
Glad that you brought that up too. Through a couple of my podcasts, I've had the privilege of working with a lot of pastors and a lot of church planters. You know, guys who are focusing on that kind of activity. And I've talked to a lot of them about this sort of thing recently. And a lot of them are focusing their church planting efforts in the Minnesota area and in and around that and in, you know, Oregon, you know, and working around these cities we were just talking about. And they are finding that people are coming to them in droves because they can't really do an activism on their own. They can't go out there and risk themselves and their families because, I mean, if all they do is even put up the wrong sign in their yard, you've got Antifa waiting around the corner. and they'll just stop protesting ICE for the day, and they'll come over and attack their family. So they're scared, you know. But the church planting that's going on is giving these people a place to go, congregate, share their ideas, and hopefully stay engaged and stay motivated, you know, in a positive way through their faith and their spirit. And I'm hearing from them that that's a way to start combating this. And so the church planting activities have just gone through the roof in these areas because they want to give everybody a place to come to share their opinions where they're not going to get thrown in jail on Facebook or attacked for the wrong side of the yard. And, you know, honestly, when you think about that and with what we talk about on a regular basis, when you look at how do these people start fighting back, spiritually seems to be a pretty decent answer, don't you think?
I agree. And I mean, that's what happens, right? You can only obey laws when law has meaning, and you can only tolerate crime when crime is punished, and you can only coexist with the crazy when crazy is contained. If the government refuses to do its job, I do believe that people will eventually do it for them. And that is the moment that I feel like every civilization in history has tried to avoid, because that's when stuff gets primal, and it has. It's happened. I'm not talking about, you know, people turning into vigilantes overnight. I feel like, as a whole, Americans with common sense, we are patient, we are forgiving, and we are ridiculously accommodating. But patience doesn't last forever. And I don't feel like order maintains itself for free. There is a price. But that spiritual layer, we are the moral citizens. We are the faithful. We are the responsible. We are the self-governed. But the real crisis happens is when this group, our group, loses hope in the institutions. That's scary. And I feel like the ruling class is treating that legitimacy like it's optional and treating power like it's absolute. I feel that. And it doesn't end well. And that's why our founders, they knew this better than any modern politician. They built the nation on consent of the governed, not coercion of the governed. And once that consent collapses, coercion is all that's left. And that's a short shelf life before rebellion is absolutely morally justified, historically predictable, spiritually sound. That's it. I'd say maybe we're not at the rebellion, but we're all at, are you kidding me, right now across the country.
We're getting really close.
We are right there.
Really close. You know, I don't think there's a guy out there, you know, a father, for instance, who's, you know, watching all this go on around his spouse and worried about his kids going to school and everything else, who doesn't have some sort of urge to just go do something about it. You know, because that's, we all reach a breaking point. You know, and of course, I only speak for men because I am not a woman, so I can't speak for one. And I don't, you know, take that kind of posture. But I know that from a man's standpoint, when you're looking at that, you feel so helpless because the law isn't helping you, and you're trying to, you know, lose yourself in your faith, but they're shutting that down and blocking you from doing that. You try to vote, but it's all corrupt. I mean, when you're sitting near your kitchen table, and that frustration just mounts and mounts and mounts, it takes one single ember to ignite that fire that could be coming. And I just wonder if that's what the Democrats really want, is for this group of, you know, conservatives who have guns and who have had it to go out and take matters into their own hands, because then you have the entire mainstream media who probably already has the ads made up, you know, to show how horrible we are and lawless and everything else. And then we lose.
I talked
And we
about
lose.
our first episodes. That's they want that.
Yeah. I think that's what they're trying to do, you know, inciting this stuff now. You know, Walz and the mayor of Minneapolis, I can't think of the mayor's name, the mayor of Minneapolis and Walz, that's what they're trying to do. You don't just keep punching somebody in the face over and over and then stand there.
Think nothing's gonna happen.
Right. Eventually they're going to hit you back. And it's like they're just waiting to get hit back so they can go, see, you're a bad guy. I hope to God they can hold off. And something happens in the midterms that can change some things. But
Well,
every time I open up this thing, I'm like,
I know.
did someone lose it today? Is it over?
Well, I checked my friend Alex Jones because I haven't looked at what he was up to a lot lately. And I saw his top headline this morning is that the Supreme Court vindicated Mike Lindell with that 2020 election stuff. And he says he's topping the polls for Minnesota. I didn't do a deep dive on it, but I feel like whether it's accurate or exaggerated, the optics alone are pretty explosive. So
Yeah, that would be great.
I'm curious to see. I mean, the left would lose their minds because if he
Yeah.
actually leads Minnesota polls, that means like the Overton window is snapping in a direction that the establishment is not going to be happy about, you know?
Right.
I'm excited for that.
See, that's a ticket, though, to get the DOJ out there. To start monitoring polls and voting and everything else, because you know that if he's leading the polls like that, that they're already setting up the way to cheat him out of it. They're already getting it all, everything put in place. But will anybody do anything to protect the election? I mean, the only states that went for Kamala in the election in 2024, the only states that she got were ones where voter ID was not required. She did not get a single state where you had to prove who you were. That simple of a change eliminated that much cheating. And Minnesota's been, bringing in Somalians and illegal immigrants for years so that they can do this. And if you have to actually have an ID that's for real, wow, I don't know. I mean, that's going to short circuit their entire plan. Then why'd they do all this, right? Yeah, that's going to anger some people.
That's crazy. But liberals, I'll be happy to see their heads exploding with the directions this goes. Just whatever. If we are going to watch it, we are going to keep track of things because just all day, the hypocrisy, the immorality, like it is a walking contradiction. And there's a picture I saw that we could talk about really fast before we close out today.
Yeah.
A picture I saw of this kid, F Irfan, Irfan maybe Sultani. He's like 26 years old, and they're executing him in Iran because he asked for some freedom, right? In the streets, execution in the streets, which should be happening to violent criminal offenders, but like he's just asking for peace. And they're gonna kill him. I think that, people have been fighting for him, and I'm not sure he was supposed to be executed yesterday or today, I believe. But like you've got these kids that are really suffering, and like here in America, these demons running around, they're just masquerading as liberal activists, and they're busy screaming about pronouns, and they have these little microaggression temper tantrums with their knitted hats and their ridiculous stuff and this imaginary oppression. And they're just taking real freedom for granted. Oh, almost makes me cry. This is so frustrating. Like, they have no idea how blessed we are to be in this country and that they get to act like evil little idiots because we are a free country. And they're defending these people. I said yesterday, like, why don't we just trade liberal white women for Iranian women or kids that want freedom? Like, we just flip-flop them. Like, you're defending Sharia law when you will never have a voice. And biblically, I guess I'm telling myself this is what happens when a nation loses discernment. We stop recognizing actual tyranny and actual evil, and then we worship our comfort. And I mean, you guys, people in Iran are begging for the very rights that your spoiled ass in the United States of America was handed on a silver platter. And the fact that half of the people in this country treat this like it's an aesthetic, we are the greatest nation God ever carved out on the earth. And our loudest citizens have no idea what that gift costs. They have no idea. The world is bleeding for everything that they're taking for granted. And I know it can't just be stupidity. Like, this is spiritual rot. This is literally demonic. And I'm at the point where I feel like, with all the hypocrisy, I honestly would rather these people just turn around and say, "Look, Brandon, we know this is all bullshit, but we're getting paid." Because outside of that, I cannot make sense of how they're living, how they're reacting, how they're treating people that are literally working for them. I would rather deal with honesty instead of like this delusion that people are masquerading around pretending it's compassion. And the people that believe this insanity, it just drives me nuts. Real women crying for freedom. And I'm talking literal life or death, you guys. I'm not talking about, even the little post about, making a Facebook post and going to jail. I'm talking life or death. Life or death. And you're out here with Starbucks in your hand, Sharia law, ICE, all of these, whatever. I just am so, it's so crazy to me. Like you're, I just, my brain, it like freezes my brain. And these people think they're morally superior while they're doing this. I hope that they are, I just hope that they're not that far gone and they are just getting a paycheck, because otherwise it just doesn't make sense to me. It doesn't make sense to me.
I think that's a great place to leave it. And that was a fantastic wrap up all on its own. So honestly, I could not sum up today's episode better than that. I'm
Okay.
good.